Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Roundball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, John Wallace, Marty Collins, Joey Devine, Michael Sweetney, Donnell Harvey, Sean Keane, Frederick Weiss, Dante Jones, Patreons, Sasha, thank you Sasha, Adrian, thank you Adrian, Drake Campbell, thank you Drake, musical guest, Billy Joel, and now the temporary host of Roundball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Roundball Rock Podcast, and right off the bat, I should announce we do an SNL intro, and I should announce that, unfortunately, the robot, the ghost of Don Pardo, my Bill Simmons impression, and our impression of the Lopez twins are leaving this season. Lorne has called it a season of change.
Mm-hmm. Now there's only 27 cast members on Roundball Rock.
Sean, some business. First off, God, I almost forgot to introduce you. That voice you're hearing right now is, of course, America's swim coach, America's uncle dad. He's got an album coming out. You might have heard him on the Daily Zeitgeist this week. You might have heard him on this on our Patreon episodes with Big Corbin talking about Tiger Woods' book. It's America's uncle dad, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Did I get all your plugs in?
Yeah, you did. Thank you.
Oh, good. I'm doing pretty good. I'm always pretty good when we get a surprise trade. But before we get to our guests, we're double guesting tonight. I should just mention some business. At Round Rock Pod is our Twitter. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Patreon.com/roundrockpod is where you can hear Sean talk to Big Corbin every single week about the Tiger Woods book.
Mm-hmm.
And I have something really dumb and weird that I don't even want to talk about. I'm recording this week with the host of Who Cares About the Rock Hall, Joe Quazala. It's a surprise, stupid thing. He doesn't even know what it is yet. And let's talk about the Donovan Mitchell trade. Let's bring our Utah Jazz correspondent from the Unsalvageable Bulls podcast, from the Brigham Young Money podcast, our friend Greg Foster. All right, Sean. Before we have a guest on, another guest. We have two guests today. There was a trade today. That's why Greg's here. We got to talk to him about that. So you know what that means. It's trade drop time. Have you ever heard the trade drop, Greg?
Yes.
Trades. That's right. We're talking about trades.
/ Capspace URLs. You remember we talk about Capspace all the time in the program. / Capspace. Let them know that you came from us. Limited time only. Terms apply.
Protected picks.
You can even create a beautiful website while listening to this podcast. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their website. Create yours today. That's wix.com/woj, W-O-J, to get 10% off.
Rights to euros that are never coming.
Enter code NBA at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Expiring salaries.
And if you missed it, we launched the Recapables Billions podcast on our Recapables feed.
Treating people like their assets and not people.
ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, L-O-W-E post. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Even robots know that basketball is a business, so players shouldn't have feelings because of business. Trades.
All right. That's right.
Hell yes.
His personal nightmare is over. Donovan Mitchell is gone. And according to Brian Windhorst, spent the day celebrating running around a golf course getting out of Utah. First off, Greg, before we get to Donovan Mitchell, I want to ask you.
Before?
Yeah. How excited are you for the Lauri Markkanen era of Utah Jazz basketball?
Big ass shotgun. I'm so excited for Lauri Markkanen. Like, what we need is another translucent man in Salt Lake City. Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, another guy that Jazz fans are going to fall in love with and don't have to, like, use slurs against on Instagram. Yeah, I think he's going to fit in perfectly. I mean, he's from, what, Finland? Like, he'll do great in the snow.
Yeah, he likes it up there. He's used to, like, a really white country.
Yeah.
That should be good for him.
I mean, we don't have healthcare here, but...
Yeah.
But if he does die, they will baptize him. So
he went to college in Arizona, and I feel like Utah is kind of like a happy medium between like Finland and Arizona.
Yeah, that's a good point.
A lot less binge drinking in Utah than either of those two places, though.
So I mean, that's all we have.
So in this drink,
you know how much you have to drink when your beer is 3.2%.
Yeah,
he's
going to
be
Sean,
like, wow, I can drink so much and not get drunk yet.
I guess Sean mentioned, tell us what the trade is.
So the trade, Utah receives 3 unprotected first round picks, 2 mm-hmm. pick swaps. They get
Danny Ainge just came.
And they get Colin Sexton on a 4-year, $71 million contract. Mm-hmm. Greg, last year, Colin Sexton was playing in Sexland. Mm-hmm. How would you describe the land he has moved to?
Well, I'm actually quite excited for the gay sex era.
I thought, yep, that's pretty good. I thought the sex bog. I forgot Rudy Gay was on the team. Yeah.
I don't know.
That like, should be that marketing.
I don't know. Maybe like it, well, it right? doesn't make me feel very good right now that our backcourt is the sex con.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Well, I don't think he's going to be there much longer.
No, I think Conley's going to be gone here really soon. But yeah, it's fine. Like, cool. Colin Sexton. I think I'm excited to, like, never spell his name right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, like, he's a lunatic. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, he's fun for sure.
Yeah, like... just thinking about this trade and just thinking about the Jazz in the future, I think we can all agree that the Jazz are going to be dog shit next year. Mm-hmm. They're going to be really bad. I'm here for fun and vibes and zero expectations. I want the polar opposite of what we had as Jazz fans last season, which was like super high expectations that were never met. And just like literally the most miserable team of my like Utah Jazz watching experience. I like the, like I legitimately liked the Ty Corbin years more than I liked last year's Jazz team. It was awful to watch.
Well, and you know, I had forgotten how it was not just like a sudden thing at the end of the year. Basically, they were like 29-10 at one point, and then they were like a below 500 team for the last 45 games of the year or something
like
that.
Yeah. I think they started off something like 27-9.
Yeah.
And then ended up like right around 500 afterwards.
Yeah. Speaking like of last year's Jazz team, Quinn Snyder, Halloween coming up. That was what he was most excited for about not coaching the Utah Jazz was Halloween.
What's he going to go as, Joey? So we've had some suggestions.
I don't remember.
Well, some guy said he should go as the angry guy from Daria. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's how I would actually like describe him when he was on the Jazz bench. Like he had like the one like really weird eye and like the pulsing forehead vein.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's costume Halloween costume enough, though. You know what I mean? Like as a guy who's so excited for Halloween, he turned down like $1 million extension or whatever. I think it's got to be like just like a hobo, you know, your classic hobo or like a pirate.
He could go as like Matthew McConaughey's character in Wolf of Wall Street, like with like multiple vials of cocaine.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah. I mean, he has
those already.
Halloween anyway.
Yeah. Like it's an easy thing for him. He has a million, like he's always been a very like well-dressed man, so he can just go to his closet and like get some like 1980s Wolf of Wall Street suit and like he'll fit that bill perfectly.
What if he goes as Frank Vogel? Like
he probably gets hired before Frank Vogel.
I was thinking he could borrow a ghost costume from some of his old neighbors in Salt Lake City.
Yeah,
you can't see listeners. You couldn't see the air quotes Sean put there, but he's implying, let's just say the Klan. All right.
But seriously, are you going to miss?
Thank you for the clue about the Klan.
Yeah.
are you going to miss Donovan Mitchell?
A little bit. Yeah. I actually I'm still a Donovan Mitchell fan. And I think at the end of the day, he's still like a good person and he's a good basketball player. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I've talked a lot about on Unsalvageable, like literally since they blew it against the Mavericks, like this team had reached its peak. And like, we knew that this iteration of the Utah Jazz wasn't going to get any better. Mm-hmm. And they had been found out and everybody knew they couldn't defend outside of Rudy Gobert. And like you had to survey the landscape of how the NBA was shifting into and like how the Utah Jazz were currently constructed and realize it wasn't going to work out. And like, I think they made the right move. And like, I think the biggest thing that I'm really excited about is like, we heard all these stories about like the Jazz possibly retooling around Rudy or Donovan or both Rudy and Donovan and like trading their ancillary pieces. And I give such like a hat tip to Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck for just saying like, fuck that, that's the wrong thing to do. And blowing it all up, and even more so, convincing Ryan Smith that the All-Star game doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. And like, you don't have to be the super cool guy. And like, the All-Star game is still coming to Salt Lake City. You still have this like opportunity to be like Salt Lake ambassador, like Mr. Cool Guy, even if you don't have representation for 3 days in February.
That was the craziest thing to me, that was going to determine the direction of the franchise.
Losing my mind when those were the stories coming out.
Because it is not like a rare thing for there to be an All-Star game where there aren't All-Stars. That's like,
it's not
like
that's baseball.
I feel like that's a thing someone started talking about like within the last 10 years.
Yeah.
There was no talk like I mean, not that the Warriors had the option of having an all-star, but like that year, there wasn't any like, oh, I can't. Can you believe the all-star games in Oakland? It's like, yeah, you can, because there's 12 guys on the all-star team and many teams have multiple all-stars. Like, it's just math, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
So, Greg, I wanted to ask you, you brought up that you're going to miss Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you, who are you going to miss more, Donovan or Rudy?
Oh, Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think like it's, I think part of it is like Rudy's just such a weirdo. Mm-hmm. And I find him much more fascinating. Mm-hmm. He's also just like a better basketball player and like much more impactful. And that's not like, I don't mean that as like a slight to Donovan Mitchell. I think Donovan Mitchell's a really good player. Like you're not, you don't find guys who put up 25, 5, and 5 mm-hmm. every night and like has like legitimate playoff bona fides. Mm-hmm, like a guy mm-hmm. who's dropped like multiple 50 point games and 40 point games in the playoffs. Like he's a really good player, but like that was weird.
Yeah. What was that?
I have no idea. Anyway.
That's Ryan yeah, Smith. Is
but like if
tapping,
I'm,
that's if Ryan Smith has your podcast lines tapped.
I mean, the NSA is in Utah, so. Yeah. Anyway, I think like, yeah, I just think that Rudy's like the more interesting guy as well as like the better basketball player. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they both cry publicly.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
I'm going to, and like, I don't know. I think Rudy's really handsome.
All right.
He's a good looking guy.
I mean, I just think it just wasn't worth. It's like a marriage where no one's like at fault.
Yeah, I remember tweeting out last year watching this Jazz team that like it was like watching your parents like in the early process of the divorce.
Mm-hmm. And the Jazz really have not been like bad for 10 years. Well,
and just like in a divorce, Colin Sexton is essentially like a shitty version of Donovan Mitchell, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he's short and he refuses to pass to the big men and he shoots every time he touches the ball. Yeah, it's like the same guy.
He's a rebound shooting guard. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, he's like Diet Coke Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, but he's like little and he's funny looking and he, you know, he played 4-on-5 that one game in college and was yeah, still scoring
at points.
Like you just want a guy who like he still is, he's going to be really mad at Cleveland. And I like that.
And you know? And he made Kevin Love so infuriated that he did two of the weirdest basketball plays of yes. all time. Yeah. And he's it happened gotta... twice, 2 years in a row.
He's so frustrating. Colin Sexton is a number one option. Like, honestly, I'm all in on like treating all the veterans except for Jordan Clarkson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I want Jordan Clarkson and Colin Sexton to shoot 45 yeah. times a game.
Yeah.
Like if you want Victor Wembanyama, you get those people. You get those two shooting 85.
They will
shots
literally a game. Fight each other over the ball in the middle yeah, of the game.
It'll be awesome.
Who has? Do you know who has the single game Utah Jazz scoring record right now? Because it would be amazing if it's Jordan Clarkson got that. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think it's 62 or something.
It might be too high for him, but why not? If he took 35 shots and 15 of them were threes, you never know.
Like he could have like a Kobe retirement game, especially yeah. like the end of the season when no one gives a shit. Yeah. I say go for it, man.
Yeah. I mean, look. All I know is Jordan Clarkson is the perfect version of Terrence Ross West.
Hell yes.
So
I cannot tell you guys how much I love Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
Now, besides Jordan Clarkson, what other member of the current Utah Jazz roster are you excited to watch next?
Can I Google it really quickly?
Did they cut Eric? Did they cut Eric Paschal yet? Because Sean and I
can... Eric Paschal is he signed a deal with Minnesota. He's going to go play with
right.
Rudy again.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad because Sean and I watched Eric Paschal on a team that won 14 games, and he was the most fun part.
Yeah, it was
yeah. Really cool. I thought he was one of the more fun parts of the Jazz last season.
He's like a time traveling player. You know what I mean? Where yeah, it's yeah. just like you could see a time when Eric Paschal would have led like a Mississippi State team to the Final Four in 1995. 1,000%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just. just like feed him and let him. He's not big enough or fast enough for the real NBA, but he's got some moves. Yeah, man.
He would be like in college, he would be like Kirkland signature Charles Barkley.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
He's also very clearly like you could put him on like the Patrick Ewing Knicks team and it'd be like, he'd be like a fan favorite forever. Where it'd be like,
yeah, 100%.
He came in and scored 12 points in a game where they scored 72 and won by 5.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like Jazz fans, like he was an instant favorite for Utah Jazz fans. Like we kind of have a love affair for those kind of guys like Matt Harpring, Damari Carroll, Trevor Booker.
Yeah.
Antoine Carr, if you go back to like the, you know, the Stockton Malone days, we love a lunch pail guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You and know what? Eric Paschal kind of like a non-white Matt Harpring, actually, in that they're both really buff.
Yeah, like unusually so, where you're like, how'd that happen?
And you Matt Harpring used to come to the gym I used to work out in college. He's like crazily jacked.
Yeah. He also feels like a guy who exclusively would work out with like a tire, a big log,
like
like
the Rocky IV workouts.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see that. Like, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. I don't really keep tabs on Matt Harpring anymore, but like, it would not surprise me if he was like a big CrossFit guy.
I'm surprised he's not the Jazz TV guy. It feels like
he was so bad, dude.
I don't think he's beloved anywhere, Joey. Okay, so they've got Malik Beasley. What is I'm guessing marijuana is not legal in the state of Utah.
We're working on it.
Okay.
Like you and Jordan me, personally. Jordan. I'm saying that as if
Malik Beasley is a pothead and he clearly did have instructions on how to use a bong when the cops raided his house.
It was written down on a piece of paper in his safe how to smoke weed.
By the way, can I just plug this in right now? Our man Montrezl Harrell. He's safe from the law.
Thank
he pled
God.
No contest. They made it a misdemeanor. Going to be expunged for his record.
He's going to be awesome for the Jazz this next year. I'm dead ass serious, man. Like,
yeah, why
that's
not?
The one thing we need is like a veteran Johnson? Center. Like he'd be perfect.
Just coming and eating all the time. Like,
yes.
Like their defense is going to be terrible. You might Who as well cares? Play him at center.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing about watching this team next year. I don't have any expectations. They could go 17-65 and I will be like a pig in shit.
They actually have a lot of fun. Like Jared Vanderbilt's pretty fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
I think that big white center is actually going to be
Walker Kessler Ranger.
Like he might be terrible, but he's definitely like fun.
Yeah, like
a big white shot blocking 7'2" dude.
Yeah, dude, I think he's like a. I don't know. I feel like his ceiling is like a slightly worse version of Jakob Poeltl, which is a decent NBA player.
That's still fun.
Yeah, that's still a fun, good basketball player. I would be happy with that.
I think he could be what I thought Cole Aldrich was going to be coming out of college, which is actually an NBA player,
like white and good.
Yeah. Well, I guess he was one of those guys that just was like off the charts with the pre-draft metrics. And then the guys were like, we need to adjust for our height a little more than we have. Because they're like, he's the most efficient shooter in college. And it's like, yeah, all his shots were three feet away on a loaded college team.
Yeah.
Hey, but never forget in that documentary MCA made about the Rucker Park game, Cole Aldrich wins the MVP at Rucker Park.
Hell yes. Something we should all aspire to.
All right, Greg, there's one last thing I want to ask you about. Unless, Sean, why don't you go first? Is there anything else you want to talk to Greg about before we let him go?
Are you excited about, it's pretty amazing right now that the Jazz now have three unprotected 2029 picks. And I was thinking about that. And then I started laughing because I realized that these are seventh graders. They traded for three seventh graders this summer.
Oh, actually, I do want to ask you one thing, Greg, because I sort of feel like this is perfect for me personally, because both Danny Ainge and the New York Knicks somehow lost this trade. Sure. Did you see what Shams tweeted out earlier today? About what the Knicks had offered.
Was that the Woj tweet or the Shams tweet?
Oh, it's Woj, sorry. In July, New York offered Utah RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin, Mitchell Robinson, and three unprotected first round picks. And Danny Ainge said no. And now he has Lauri Markkanen.
Are we sure this isn't Leon Rose throwing a shit fit?
I mean, I don't know. Leon Rose. No, it's not. Because here's the thing. Danny Ainge, he's addicted to two things. Chipotle and draft picks.
Yeah.
Well, and I there's do, not I, enough picks in that deal. Well, it's the two I pick think, swaps that he got.
I do think you're exactly right. And I do know for a fact, like definitively, that the Jazz wanted and prioritized picks over everything else. Mm-hmm. Like they don't want like win now guys. They don't even really want like semi good players. I mean, they picked up Stanley Johnson and Talon Horton Tucker. Mm-hmm. Like those are their like big like acquisitions this summer.
Right.
You know, like, no,
my point is just that those three guys don't really affect winning, but also they're probably better than most of those picks are going to be.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like I can go through, I actually wrote it down today, like the haul that the Jazz got for Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. And I just have a really hard time complaining about it.
Yeah. Sure. It's so much stuff. It's like,
yeah. Let me read this off to you guys.
Just like, come on, please. A guy named Obadiah Toppin could have been playing in Salt Lake City.
That would have been, yeah, that would have been awesome. But
he sounds like Joseph Smith's friend.
Yeah, he would have been. He would have been Porter like Rockwell's really too. Good friend. Yeah. this is what I wrote down, and the Jazz and. Turned Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell into six unprotected first round picks, one protected first round pick, three first round pick swaps, the number 14 and number 22 draft picks from the 2022 draft, which is Ogbaji and Walker Kessler, Colin Sexton, like Lauri Markkanen, and Talon Horton Tucker, Stanley Johnson, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, and Leandro Balmero.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, again, I have like a really hard time.
Fair.
Like feeling bad about that. Like, sure, I would have loved to like cheer for Mitchell Robinson and RJ Barrett. Like, mm-hmm. that would have been great. But like, I don't know. I don't care. I don't know, fuck the Knicks.
Fair enough.
It's so many guys too.
Like, it's just, it's such a like a hilarious, like embarrassment of riches.
Yes. Yes. I agree with
that. Well, hypothetical like, riches.
Hypothetical embarrassment.
Hypothetical riches.
Hypothetical embarrassment of riches.
Because. Just don't forget what a lot of those Nets picks turned into.
Well, I mean, like, yes, there is a seventh grader out there right now who's going to be the next Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, but one of them is also going to be the next Romeo Langford.
I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be like we have a G League team in Salt Lake City. I'm going to need something to watch there.
Okay. And the last thing I wanted to ask you, Greg.
Yeah.
Is now that this era is over, where do Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell rank on the greatest Jazz players of all time?
I mean, off the top, probably number three and four.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only guy who comes
Kirilenko
to mind...
shade, huh?
Kirilenko is my all-time favorite Jazz man. I am having journalistic integrity here, folks.
Yeah, I don't think Andre Kirilenko ever made like an all-star team.
He made one all-star team mm-hmm. as like a reserve mm-hmm. and played like he scored one bucket and played like 17 minutes.
Yeah, are they
but
both
he cheated
than...
on his wife with a hall pass so hard that
so
night.
So many Ooh. Times.
Yeah.
Yeah, does all-star weekend count as like one whole hall pass? Yeah. Maybe.
I would assume, right?
But okay, yeah, I think it has Darren to go. Williams. Do that is Donovan Mitchell better than Darren Williams? That's
really hard. That's the only one that I'm kind of having trepidation about.
I don't think
like
it's close otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's pretty definitive that the top three are the QAnon guy, the pedophile, and Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
And then it's like it's almost like a 4A, 4B kind of thing for me. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like Donovan's peak. Like Donovan, I think, is the better individual player than Darren Williams. Darren Williams at least got the Jazz to a Western Conference
final. Okay, now I kind of want to hear the rest of the 10.
Wait, who are the rest of the 10?
That's what I'm asking. So under Darren Williams, then who? Like Kirilenko?
Carlos Boozer.
Boozer,
Bobby Kirilenko, Carlos Boozer, Paul Millsap, Mehmet
Adrian
Okor,
Dantley.
Adrian Dantley.
So the all-time, the all-time Eaton, top 12.
Adrian Maravich.
Adrian Dantley's probably up there, right?
Yeah, Adrian Dantley's up there. Pete
what
Maravich.
About Jeff Hornacek?
He's probably like ninth or tenth.
You know who's seventh in win shares all-time?
Who's that?
Derek Favors.
Derek Favors was really fucking good before his back got destroyed. I was convinced there was a season early on when like he was, I think it was his first year starting, where he like put up like 16 and 8 and was shooting at like almost a 60% clip, and I was convinced he was going to be an all-star,
and he was still somehow 17. Derek Favors was 17. Was like a was so young for so long.
Yeah, I was convinced that he was actually going to be the guy on that team and not Gordon Hayward.
Mm-hmm. Is he in the top 10? No way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hayward?
Yeah absolutely.
Yeah, I think Hayward's in the top 10.
He was the best player of that era of the Jazz.
Is he better than Mark Eaton?
No.
Yeah.
Paul Millsap.
Mark Eaton was really fucking
good. Is he
good.
Better than Paul Millsap?
His stint with the Jazz was better. I think that Millsap's probably had the better career.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's made less money somehow. Paul Millsap has made way less money than Gordon Hayward probably somehow.
Well, we're gonna have to go to the official, the most important stat, player efficiency rating, which tells us that Adrian Dantley's number one, Malone's two, Gobert, Stockton, Boozer. Number six, the sixth greatest Jazz of all time, Greg, is Al Jefferson. Number seven is Donnie Marshall.
God, I hated the Al Jefferson year so much.
And then number eight is John Drew.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know. Of course. Yeah, John Drew. The guy that was, you know, I was just about to mention him.
He played three seasons in Utah, and then he was suspended for substance abuse. And then, the rounding out the top 10 are, of course, Derek Favors and Andre Kirilenko.
Well...
And who do you know who the all-time leader in offensive rating is, Joey?
Okay, it's going to be some kind of shitty point guard.
No, it is a guy with ties to the Warriors.
Wait, when did Anthony Randolph play for the Jazz?
It is Ekpe Udoh.
Oh, hilarious.
The all-time leader in offensive rating for the Utah Jazz.
He was really good in the one season where he played 8 minutes a game.
Yeah, and he was like 42 because he'd played in Europe for 3 years and was also drafted at 32. All right. Yeah. Greg, thank you so much for coming on. And
thank
always,
you for having me.
I have this feeling there's not going to be some Jazz news for a while. So you're getting a round ball break, probably.
Well, no. The Jazz are going to trade Conley and Bogdanovich before training camp. Mark my words.
Where can our listeners find you online?
You can follow me on Twitter at DadShamDad.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to Brigham Young Money and Unsalvageable.
Yep.
Nice.
Perfect. Love you, Greg. Have fun at Disneyland tomorrow. Greg is a Disney adult. That's how you know he was born in
Utah.
This
is how you know I'm from Utah.
Yeah.
Thanks, boys. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Greg.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Greg. Now, look, normally two teams would be involved in a two-team trade, but we decided... We needed to talk to the fan of a person of the team that wasn't even involved in this trade at all.
Mm-hmm.
To talk
but
about
still made history this week.
Yeah, to talk about the Knicks and what happened there with Donovan Mitchell. Let's talk to.
Yeah, he's a clown. Yeah, he's an experimental. He's performed theater in the nude.
Mm-hmm. He has. Let's talk to our friend Bob Silverman. All right, we're here with Bobby Silverman. Big Bob, clown, former actor, writer for Good Deadspin, Not Bad Deadspin, Politico, The Daily Beast.
Dave Portnoy's nemesis.
Yeah, Dave Portnoy's nemesis.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Dave and I are going to go like hang out and try pizza later tonight. We're very good friends.
But most importantly, disgruntled Knicks man.
I'm grumpy. Let me go. Whoa, 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 whoa. right off the bat, I am fully gruntled. No one denies this. Yes, I'm a Knicks fan. Sorry.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell was traded.
We want to talk about the real great Knicks news first.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
They finally signed a first round pick to an extension. The first one.
The Charlie Ward curse is broken. Those unfamiliar with like deep Knicks lore, they have not signed a first round draft pick to a multi year second contract since the immortal Charlie Ward.
The winner of the Heisman Trophy in 1993.
Well, right. I'm glad you
quarterback Charlie.
I'm glad you brought that up, Bob, because Sean here would like to run you through a list of things.
Oh, we're going to remember some guys.
Let's
talk about the immediate stuff, and then I'll run you through
okay.
the list.
All right.
Is that okay? Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you guys want. I'm just.
But yeah, so they gave. They gave RJ Barrett this contract extension, 4 years for
$120 million.
Up to
$120 million.
Best case Knicks scenario, $120 million, $107 million guaranteed. Yeah.
Very not
Bobby Marks.
So the Knicks are now all in on their core of Brunson, Barrett, and Randall.
Mm-hmm. Brunson, Barrett, and Obi Toppin, I think is
Obi Toppin. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know who this Randall guy is. About.
So, my first question is: who do you think will coach these guys after Tom Thibodeau is fired?
Johnny Bryant.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's obviously Johnny Bryant.
Johnny Bryant, because the Knicks are already preparing to sign Donovan Mitchell as a free agent when he decides he does not want to be in Cleveland anymore in 2025. Well, everybody knows this.
Speaking of Donovan Mitchell, I kind of thought that with the Barrett deal, it was like, well, you know, it's not really that much money. He's pretty young. He scored 20 points this year. It's not like there's any trade options out there for the Knicks.
Look, signing Barrett makes a lot of sense. They didn't give him the max they could have given him was 5 years, $193 million. They did not come close to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the average going weight rate for a cromulent wing. That is a totally fine.
Yeah, anytime you can sign a guard skill Marvin Williams, you got to do it.
Anytime you can sign in one particularly sad and usually incredibly bitter Knicks group chat I'm in, we've been coming up with all kinds of names for RJ. I think the best nickname was someone said he's like Adrian Dantley, but without the skill sets to score. And so we called him Adrian Faintly, I think is the name that we came up with for him.
I have described him in the past, I believe, as what if Harrison Barnes could sort of dribble?
I think the other one was for a particularly rude RJ hater, referred to him as RJ Bahomet. Bahomet. That are fair.
He's got some Maggette energy to him. I'll say
Look, you can see the path to him being a near, like a borderline all-star wing. This is probably his peak.
Mm-hmm.
I think if this not to get deep into RJ Barrett talk, but I like RJ. I root for RJ to succeed. He's a good kid. He tries hard. He's Canadian. So you got to give him credit for that. And I think signing him is fine. It's good.
Well,
I would have possibly traded him for Mitchell, but that being
said. I do think there's a certain value to the Knicks finally just doing like boring things instead of crazy things where it's like, we don't really know about this guy, but you usually would extend the number three pick in the draft. We're just going to extend him. Like, are you going to trade any future first round picks? Like, well, not yet.
This is the thing that most Knicks fans have for years, and by Knicks fans, I mean definitely me, have really would have preferred them to be a normal bad team instead of, you know, a punchline and very strange punchline. So extending RJ, whether it is a good thing or a bad thing, and who knows, it is pretty normal. I think you're right.
I would say normally yes, but the signing was part of a strange ultimatum where Leon Rose almost was going to trade for Donovan Mitchell with the Jazz, and then apparently told Danny Ainge, "You've got to complete this trade by Monday, or else I'm going to give RJ Barrett $120 million."
That's called negotiating, baby.
That is a weird hostage situation.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to sign this check. Don't make me sign this check.
Well, the question I wanted to ask you about this, Bob, is have you ever issued an ultimatum that involved, like, stepping on a rake, essentially? Because that's what happened here.
You better not make me step on this rake.
No, but I have seen the movie Blazing Saddles where Cleavon Little held a gun to his own head.
Yeah, yeah, that is essentially what he was doing here.
It is weird. I mean, I was reading Loge's blog on the trade negotiations, and evidently RJ was in the deal, and it was going to include 2 unprotected firsts, 2 pick swaps, 2 seconds. Evan Fournier was going to be shuffled off to a third team. Mm-hmm. And then at the last minute, Danny Ainge was like, no, I want Quentin Grimes too. And he said no.
Well, that was the sticking point. And then I believe Shum said today the sticking point then became a third first round pick that the Knicks were unwilling to give up. They have so many first round picks, you'd think they'd probably want to give that up.
If you were expecting a teeth gnashing, garment rending Knicks fan in this pod, you're not getting it, guys. I'm honestly, look, 4 decades now, and I'm not going to bring up the Carmelo Anthony trade. He said bringing up the Carmelo Anthony trade. I think it is a good thing for the Knicks to show that they're willing to walk away from a situation when they have a price point and saying, no, we're not going past that. And to me, I would have convinced myself that this was a good thing. I would have bought into it because I'm an idiot. I seemingly would have been forced to watch Knicks games. Talk about holding yourself hostage. But, to me, this a Knicks team that would be built with a starting five of Brunson, Mitchell, Barrett, Randall, and Mitchell Robinson had a real whiff of some of those mid-2000s Knicks teams with Marbury, Steve Francis, Quentin Richardson, Zach Randolph, and Eddie Curry as the center.
There's sort of a problem with that analogy in that Jalen Brunson is not as good as any of those people you named.
Better than Steve Francis.
Sure, I just mean historically Steve Francis.
Steve Francis, Marbury on the downside, a still pouting Zach Randolph. I never was Eddie Curry. I think Jalen Brunson.
I just mean prime those guys, not washed those guys.
Yeah, but they didn't have prime those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of hate Donovan Mitchell, so I can't that mad at the Knicks here because
he is the only NBA player whose dad works for the Mets, though. You gotta give him that.
That's a really good point.
It's a selling point. I'm not. Don't make me bring Timmy Trumpet into this, but he is the only.
Oh my God. Bob, can I tell you, I was aware of that song and the entrance music, but I did not know that there was really a recording artist named Timmy Trumpet. And so when I started to see it on Twitter, I thought this was like maybe an autistic adult who brought a trumpet to Mets games.
No.
They're like, Timmy Trumpet, all this fan favorite. It was like, oh no, he's like a millionaire recording artist Australia.
That's
and
right.
His name is Timmy Trumpet.
Like, a tweaked out Australian who's now suddenly a Mets super fan.
Yeah. Timmy Trumpet is like the name of a guy who gets kicked off America's Got Talent.
And it's not even like they full audition. It's just the shame portion.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, Bob, are you ready to remember some Knicks first rounders?
Well,
my point is that I agree with you that it was I would have said, okay, let's see what happens. It'll be fun. I think what the Knicks saw was that because Utah didn't have any other, we thought, legitimate suitors for Mitchell, they could get him at a relatively reduced price. Mm-hmm. As time passed, it became clear that that was not the case. There will be other stars available. They still have their big, fancy grab bag of, you know, protected Milwaukee picks to offer up to whatever the next star is wants to move. Mm-hmm. I am fine with the Knicks moving forward with the team as constructed. They are a fringe play-in team, and that's okay. Fine. I just want to I'm fine.
I would say, the last time you were on this podcast, Bob, we made you listen to James Dolan's music for like two straight hours.
You did. I have come to realize something. Speaking of James Dolan, I have come to realize that the youths who root for the Knicks now, of which I'm a little too old to be considered a rude teen anymore, they do not share my animosity towards James Dolan. They do not even share your animosity towards James Dolan.
Well, they should.
But they don't. They don't know. They don't know, man. They have decided that the fake news media is out to slander the good James Dolan name. I swear to you that this is true, that the Knicks, there is a segment of Knicks fandom that thinks the problem with the reason the team can't get itself, you know, can't figure out a way to build a consistent winner is that the tabloid papers and Stephen A. Smith keep dunking on them too hard.
Well, they should Google Isaiah Thomas.
No, they're not going to do that. They won't do that. That's not happening.
They only look up news on TikTok these days.
That's true.
But the reason I bring it up is
you gotta get the straight shot on TikTok, Joey.
Yeah. First off, Bob, I wanted to tell you that episode. A funny thing about that episode is I can go into our analytics and see where the downloads occurred. And there were 60 downloads from Westchester, New York, where normally we get zero.
Harrytown, New York.
Are you trying to get him Oakleyed?
No. I'm just saying. I think people on the Knicks had to listen to that episode. People who work for the Knicks had to listen to that episode.
I'm going to keep it. I'm going to play this a little sly, but let's just say that I have had an occasion as a qualified member of the Fourth Estate to have certain run-ins with the Knicks front office, and they're not. I'm certain the guys who cover the team on a day-to-day basis have had many, many, many more. But it was made clear to me that I was not their favorite person at a certain point for some dogs that I may have written and said some things about. So. That's awesome. They're watching Rambo Rock in Tarrytown.
Yeah.
The best news.
Love it.
The other reason I brought it up is I do think from that album we listened to, James Dolan might have something that Knicks fans could take away from here. I've pulled it, and here we go.
Oh, God. We're listening.
Because bees can give you honey, but honey, they can sting you too.
All right.
That's enough of that.
Honey, and they can sting you too.
Uh huh. Yep.
That's a factual statement. There are no lies.
It's also about draft picks, I think. All right.
Wow. Metaphors. Can't believe you played. I had to listen to that podcast. That was awful. And you did it again. Hate you. Ugh.
All right, Bob, are you ready to remember?
Yeah, we're going to remember some Knicks guys, and I'll tell you my thoughts on any of them because I remember them all.
Okay, so in 1996, we've got three first-rounders. We have John Wallace.
Walter McCarty, John Wallace, and Dante Jones.
Yes, now note, all three of those players were in the Final Four in 1996, if you're wondering how much college tape the Knicks front office was watching back then.
Well, my favorite thing about those three guys is they're also all in He Got Game.
Wow, they are.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all.
Oh, Spike Cast. Right. Okay.
Right.
Spike Cast, all the Knicks draft picks, and Travis Best.
Yeah, to be Jesus Shuttlesworth's friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had high hopes for John Wallace. He was a fine 22-year-old.
He's a cool dude. Still, probably. He was cool at 22. I bet he's cool now.
He's a broadcaster, right? For MSG?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. Okay. No. You can tell me the year and I can probably remember who the Knicks draft is. I don't know. This is
okay. Okay. 1997. He was the 25th pick in the draft.
John Thomas.
That's correct. Never played for the Knicks?
No. And it's a euphemism for the male genitalia. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's a good one. Now Dante Jones and Walter McCarty turned into the immortal Chris Mills, who, when he was on the Warriors, tried to fight the Blazers team bus.
Yeah, he drove his car to the Oakland airport following the team bus with a gun.
And that sounds like perfect Nick.
Yeah,
did he pull his car in front and try to block it or something?
He also did that, yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell it's pre-9/11 because they didn't even get arrested blocking a team bus and bringing a gun to the airport. All right.
Chris Mills was part of the Knicks' attempt to build something that resembled a bench behind to support an aging Patrick Ewing. Mm-hmm. And they brought in Chris Mills and Chris Dudley that year. And it all fell horribly. It all fell apart because Ewing broke his hand and missed pretty much the entire season. So there was a lot of playing a washed Terry Cummings at center that year. The Knicks invented small ball that year. Very few people know that.
Which is weird because they'd fired Don Nelson 3 years before. All right. Well, he quit. They didn't fire him. He quit.
He just had enough. He was just like, I'm out.
In the Chris Herring book, there's an amazing part where I guess Don Nelson, it's the last game he coaches as a Knick. And it's halftime and he's like supposed to give them a speech. And he just says out loud, I'm so sick of assholes.
Basically, Don Nelson wanted to run the entire offense through Anthony Mason.
Yeah.
And that alienated Ewing and thus the rest of the team. And I think history has shown us that Don Nelson was right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
History always shows that Don Nelson was right. All right, keep going. Yeah. Mark Cuban, he called it first. That guy's a piece of shit. All right.
So your next draft year is 1999.
Who the draft in 99? Ooh.
Number 15 pick in the draft.
Yeah, they picked Frederick Rice
over
Ron Artest that year.
Another guy who never played a game for the Knicks.
No, Frederick Rice's story is actually really sad. There's a story that I forget which Times writer, they went back to Frederick Rice had a tough life, and being known for as the guy that Vince Carter dunked on in the Olympics hasn't done him any good. So,
right, yeah. Poor guy.
The immortal Frederick Weiss.
It's become a thing now where now that we're all woke, we have to be like, oh, we were mean to that guy. Sorry.
Mm. Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to feel bad for Manti Te'o now. Woo, woo, woo. Find me a river, snowflake.
There's a funny moment in that documentary where they talk about him walking out in the ocean and crying after he doesn't get picked in the first round. And they make now Manti Te'o reenact that.
Yes, that was great.
Because they have B-roll footage.
That was
great. And then he gets picked 38th. It's like he doesn't really fall that far. He's still a pretty high, like a reasonably high pick for like a linebacker who wasn't good at running. You know, like that's all right.
Look, in 2012, you could still draft a sort of a middle linebacker who is built like, you know, an industrial fridge and get away with that in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Go on.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Go on.
You've got a third first round pick in a row that never plays for the New York Knicks. He's the number 22 pick in 2000.
Oh gosh. I remember this. That was the year. The 20 pick in 2000 never played for the Knicks. Can you give me a college or a hint of some kind?
Well, he was immediately traded with John Wallace to get Eric Strickland.
He also has a name that sounds like he's a king of comedy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm drawing a blank. Go. I'm
Florida, University of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
6'8", 220.
Yeah, no, I know I know this, the type. I just can't. The name is. I'm drawing a blank.
This is Donnell Harvey.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
He was a CBA slam dunk champion later in his
career. Sure. That's. Mm-hmm.
He also once played. This is the best team on his resume, I think. He played for a bunch of NBA teams, but he also had two stints with the Talkin' Text Tropang Texters, which are their own
company in the Philippines.
That's like that's like an acting warm up Bob does, right?
Yeah. Now, Talkin' Text Tropang Texters. My mistress with a monster. okay, you're next. Your next guy. This is in 2002, another first round pick, the seventh pick in the 2002 draft. Also, never played a game for the Knicks.
The seventh pick in the 2002 NBA draft. Mm-hmm. Never played for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. They must have traded him very mm-hmm. quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
give me one more hint. I can't believe I'm
The guy that he was traded for ultimately only played 18 games with the New York Knicks. Though he was
this is Nene.
This is Nene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Antonio McDyess proceeded to miss the entire
Knicks. Yeah, he was doing great that preseason, and then he blew out his knee while playing like 35 minutes in a meaningless preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks thing.
And then he was part of the Marbury trade.
Yeah, they traded the seventh pick. They got back Frank Williams, though, that year, who was who Denver had drafted, the immortal Frank Williams from Illinois. It was Nene and Marcus Camby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Mark Jackson, I think.
And Mark Jackson for Antonio McDyess.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
I was acting in a play, and I heard about it from I think my dad, who came to see the play that night, and he told me, after the show was over, he's like, oh, by the way, the Knicks traded Camby. He was very upset about that. Didn't care about the play.
I couldn't believe that Mark Jackson, looking back on this, I was like, he was back on the Knicks that late?
The Knicks, yeah. They traded a first-round draft pick and Chris Childs to get Mark Jackson for a doomed playoff run in 2001. And they got waxed by the Raptors when Marcus Camby's sister got kidnapped. And so he wasn't able to play in the playoffs.
Well, wasn't that trade to the Jazz, I believe, because Mark Jackson was doing locker room lawyer stuff, trying to say he was he should be the starter over John Stockton, which is the funniest thing about Mark Jackson.
I think the Nuggets released him at that point, but yes, he was insinuating that he should
be starting in Utah over John Stockton.
He tried to anoint John Stockton with some essential oils, and that didn't go over well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 2003, this is another top 10.
This is the Mike Sweetney year.
Mike Sweetney.
I actually wrote a one-act play about that was pretty bad. But I wrote like a one-act play about, it's a one-person show about the hikikomori, the Japanese citizens who like refuse to leave their room. But there's this housekeeper that keeps coming in and interrupting, so it's a two-hander. And I named the housekeeper Mrs. Sweetney after Michael Sweetney. Oh. That was an homage to Mike Sweetney, by the way, is now coaching at Yeshiva University in New York and doing quite well.
I like Mike Sweetney. Who loves a big boy? You got to love a big boy.
Look, he up from the Danny Fortson, Gary Trent Senior School of undersized rotund power forwards. He was a good one.
I love those.
The advanced stats loved Mike Sweetney.
Yeah,
and they played Othello Harrington ahead of him a lot of the time. So what are you going to do?
So Joey, by the way, that Mark Jackson was actually on the Raptors when that trade.
Oh, excuse me, yeah. Sorry. So Chris got to Utah later.
Yes, no, he got traded from the Raptors to the Knicks, and then he hooked up with Utah after that.
Yeah. Joey, Chris Childs went in that deal and then stared at the Knicks bench every time he made a shot.
Yeah.
Throughout
the season. He wrecked him in the playoffs. Yeah.
It was terrible.
Chris Childs was also, they signed him. He had half, he was a CBA lifer, had a half good season with a terrible Nets team, And then the Knicks gave him just a ginormous free agent contract. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the year, the immortal Charlie Ward was starting over him, and it peeved him to no end.
That's well, why you got that extension, baby. Yeah.
Listeners, you might remember Chris Childs as a man who fought Kobe. All right, keep going.
2005, another top 10 pick, and then the number 30 pick. Bob, do you know who they were?
Yeah, they're Channing Frye and David Lee.
That's a good draft. That's a really
They also took on Quentin Richardson's contract and got Nate Robinson that year. And three first round draft picks.
So and they also good. They also then would proceed to get mad at Channing Frye for not being a post player.
Yeah.
But
there have been a couple of interviews where both Channing Frye and David Lee have sort of spoken casually about the 2005-2006 Knicks. And the way they talk about it is as if they were in Nam. Like the horrors that they saw can never be spoken of again, and they still live with post-traumatic stress disorder type scars from it. There's a story that at one point during that year, Malik Rose got so mad at Nate Robinson because he wouldn't shut up about something that he threw him in the shower fully clothed.
Then didn't they later then have a naked fight in the shower over gambling debts? There was an Eastern Promises situation between the two of them.
That was the year, speaking of Don Nelson and checked out coaches, they gave Larry Brown a huge contract. And by 30 games in, he was just done with this. Mm-hmm. And so what he started doing is he would change the starting lineup every night if they were playing on a road game that was close to some guy's hometown.
Yeah.
Classic. So if they were playing the Pistons, Mo Taylor was starting that night because he played in Michigan or something. Like, it was a very weird, like, Larry Brown was utterly checked out, and they tried to like fire him for not fulfill the terms of the contract by saying he was like that they fired him for cause. It was very ugly. There was a commercial which I've looked for on YouTube and does not exist. It was a Spike Lee commercial hyping the Knicks season, and the commercial involves Spike Lee with a large life-size cutout of Larry Brown taking him to various New York City locations like a bodega and a diner, and mm-hmm. yelling at the cardboard cutout about the Knicks playing defense that year.
It's great. That sounds great. That sounds like a commercial I really want to see.
Look, if any fans of the pod somehow have an old VHS tape or something of this, please share it with us. We would like to. I would like to see it again.
They eventually turned Channing Frye and Steve Francis into
Zach Randolph. Speaking of which, the night that they traded, like, first of all, that was one of the Bill Simmons running draft diaries, the 8,000 word, mm-hmm. I'm just typing my thoughts thing, which you could mm-hmm. do in 2008 and get paid. Mm-hmm. Like, Bill Simmons was crowing about the Knicks trade for Zach Randolph that year. He thought it was the bee's knees. But they actually caught up with Marbury, and I think it was at the West 4th Street courts, to tell him about the Zach Randolph trade. Like, again, we're talking pre-social media, so the way that Marbs found out is a reporter, like, shoved a camera in his face, and they interviewed him about it. And the Marbury quote about that is, like, and he's saying, well, now between Zebo and Eddie Curry, we got a front court. We've got a front court with young youthiness. And that was his comment on a Knicks front court that could not defend to save its life.
What's the combined vertical jump on those two guys, do you think?
I think that was the Scott Skiles quote about Eddie Curry, the famous one. It's like, what does Eddie Curry have to do to improve his rebounding? And the answer was jump.
Yeah.
That was about 600 pounds worth of front court, and they maybe cleared one phone book between them. There's a great play that shows Zebo. He gets the ball, like, there's a deflection. Zebo gets the ball, like, about 30 feet from the hoop, and he's just, like, staring at it. There. He holds the ball for 10 seconds, and he just chucks the ball, and it goes over the backcourt. It's a great... Someone made a mix of that to the slow motion, the NBA It's Fantastic videos that we were in that year.
So good.
Yes, that's what cost them. people were comparing Channing Frye to Rasheed Wallace's rookie year. People were very amped about Channing Frye.
And it turned out Channing Frye was good. Just it took about 5 years to for people to figure out like he didn't have to play center.
No, he's a member of the Tall Gunners Guild.
He is
a better Matt Bullard. Yeah,
I love Channing Frye. All right, Sean, let's keep it going.
Yeah, 2006. They've got two more picks.
This is 2006. Is my favorite Knicks booing draft. I think.
That was the year that they picked Ronaldo Balkman, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and they went the
and followed it up with Marty Collins.
Yeah, well, that was the funny thing.
He's famous for being in the fight, most famous for the fight with Melo, right?
Yes, they sent Mark. What Isaiah Thomas, was upset and felt that George Karl was running up the score against his terrible Knicks team,
which he probably was.
Which he probably was. Yeah. And Melo, you know, kind of took it, always got enjoyed sticking a knife in the Knicks at that time. So he sent Marty Collins, who really didn't play that much that year, into the game with the express purpose of harming someone. And Marty Collins, like, took a shot at Melo on a fast break, and that kicked off this gigantic brawl in which the most aggressive person in it was, one, Nate Robinson, and two, Jared Jeffries. And
Jared Jeffries. Who later did stand-up comedy in Portland, Oregon.
Jared Jeffries, who had a show on, I forget what, I think, like, on some obscure cable network. That he's got a fishing show, ladies and gentlemen. Like, you can watch people go fishing with Jared Jeffries. Jared Jeffries, and let's be clear about this. Carmelo Anthony did not want any of that smoke.
Yeah, he backs up. He backs up, he runs backwards the entire length of the court faster than he ever had did on defense. There was more foot shuffling.
Jared Jeffries was not doing the fake hold me back thing.
Yeah.
They ripped his jersey off his body because he was so dead set on getting a piece of Melo.
But yeah, the Marty Collins pick I think is the funniest pick in Knicks history in that based on MSG reaction, because they boo the Ronaldo Balkman pick so hard. They're so...
Because some of us wanted Rajon Rondo.
Yeah. They're so mad at the Ronaldo Balkman pick, and then they get the 29th pick, and the crowd is so fired up.
Still mad.
To boo some still more. Mad. But Marty Collins was so not famous when they said his name. It was like a collective who from the audience. Uh-huh. It was just like dead silent confusion.
I remember correctly, I think David Stern, in fact, called him Marty Collins.
Yeah, he does.
Not
yeah.
Marty Collins. Marty Collins, a 6'5 guard at a Temple who couldn't, an inferior point guard, except for the shooting.
Yeah.
Or the dribbling or the passing parts of being a point guard. Aside from that, he had length because they were the defense. Can't deny it. Like a very John Chaney kind of player.
There's not a lot of like misses though. There's not like a bunch of guys where you're like, oh, they could have had him.
They could have had Rajon Rondo. They could have had Rajon Rondo.
I just mean with Marty Collins, it's like they could have had Paul Millsap or
Pete. Hockman was That's fun. I really He went on to have a long career in the Philippines, and he's got the words "hustle harder" tattooed on the backs of his on his calves. Hustle on one calf and harder on the other.
Leon Rose was friends with his agent, so apparently this was an Isaiah Thomas gambit that LeBron James would want to play with Ronaldo Balkman.
Well, the joke at the time was everyone thought he was drafting Rolando Blackman, a player he played against. Yeah,
that is what Bill Simmons said during the draft. okay, so then our next
and two good picks coming
anyway, just so the viewers can tell, my hands are clear. I am not googling this. This is all stored in my mind palace forever. All
right. 2007, the 23rd pick in the draft.
Wait, who did they draft in 2007?
He's a guy who had a pretty long career.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you give me one more hint?
He's in a
big trade.
Yeah, he's in a big trade. He one time, almost killed David Lee when he accidentally bit David Lee, and David Lee got an infection so bad he almost died.
Oh, Wilson Chandler.
Yeah. Yes.
Wilson Chandler is a wing out of DePaul. Very solid player. Yeah.
Yeah. Really good player.
Really dirty mouth.
Sorry.
It's like getting bit by a Komodo dragon.
Yeah.
2008, the sixth pick in the draft.
I love Gallo.
I was very worried for a second there this summer when they thought he blew out his blew out his knee playing in Italy, but apparently he's fine. He'll be with the Celtics. And Gallo immediately got a back injury in the summer league and only played 20 games that year.
Yeah, Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, part of the combination of players they didn't have to trade to get Carmelo Anthony. If only James Dolan would wait 3 months.
Isaiah told him he couldn't wait.
Bees can give you honey, but honey, they can sting you too.
Damn it.
No, I'm taking the fake job drop. It's awful.
So I am when I would go to New York, I would often stay very close to my friend had a place that was very close to the New York Italian American Museum that's in Soho. It might even be in Chinatown, technically, which would be
Little Italy's right around there. So you know.
So, yeah. So I would go there a lot between 2003 and 2015 and that was when Andrea Bargnani was on the Knicks and Gallinari's jersey never left that window. They never thought to feature an Italian guy who was still on the team. It was like, nope, we haven't taken this down since 2008.
I forget which author wrote this, but while he was still with the Raptors, someone wrote, who wrote this? It was a blog in the Classical about Andrea Bargnani. And they actually had they somehow had an acquaintance who worked in an authentic Italian restaurant in the town in Toronto that Gallinari would go to. Mm-hmm. And the thought was, that Bargnani would go to. And the thought is, oh, okay, he misses his home and he's going to this legit spot to get some real Italian cooking. And the thing that drove them nuts is that Bargnani would drink wine with every meal that he ordered there alone, by the way. But he never bothered to get anything but just the house red. And it was like an indication of how little he gave a crap about anything. It's just like, yeah, whatever swill you got. I don't care.
All right. The next year, one pick after Steph Curry.
Yeah, 2009. The pick was not Steph Curry.
Jordan Hill. It's Jordan Hill.
I've got to tell you, Bob, as a Warriors fan, that entire summer, the Warriors were mocked.
Monte Ellis was screaming that you better not draft another dude who even vaguely resembles me.
And the Warriors were mocked in every mock draft to take Jordan Hill. And then when they took Steph Curry, my best friend Elliot and I literally jumped up and down for joy, hugging each other. And it turned because it was like the first draft I could ever remember where it was obvious that they didn't screw up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, didn't they originally, when everybody thought Curry would not drop to number 7, weren't they supposed to draft Jordan Hill and trade him for Amari Stoudemire?
Yes, they were. Yeah.
So this is like a double dose for the Knicks because they just put Stoudemire on the team.
It's really one of those. That's when
sliding
the
door, as Bill Simmons would say, that's a sliding doors situation.
Yeah, that's a Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness moment. that was the rumored trade, the Amari trade that they were going to do, and it didn't happen. And I think the immortal Steve Kerr was the one who pulled the plug on it. No.
Really? Steve Kerr desperately wanted Steph Curry and was like, oh, great, we're getting Steph Curry. And then Don Nelson was like, we're not making that trade. This is the next Steve Nash.
Nice. Again, proving our early thesis, Nelson is always right.
Jordan Hill did not make it.
No, they traded him
Knicks
to shed cap space because they wanted to get Larbon Jam. Now, granted, Jordan Hill didn't amount to much, but I mean, there's a working theory that Steph Curry, with his early injury woes, in fact, would have been traded by the Knicks that year to shed salary cap. in order to go after Larbon Jam. So the Knicks could, in this alternate reality where the Knicks do draft Steph Curry, they trade him anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and then don't forget the Warriors actually offered take your pick, Steph Curry or Monte Ellis for Andrew Bogut, and the Bucks chose Monte Ellis.
Look, little did they know that they would be going to that years from now that Andrew Bogut would, you know, turn them on to Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, 2011, the number 17 pick.
Andrew Bogut, I'm backing you, coward. Granted, I did basically just say, like, I called Andrew Bogut a fascist in print multiple times, so I understand why he blocked me.
Oh yeah,
you're promoting Pizzagate. What do you want me to do? I have to write about it.
Okay, 2011, the 17th pick in the draft.
Oh wow, they skipped a couple of years of draft picks there.
That's the Melo trade, baby.
Yeah.
Almost half these guys, whether they pick that year or not, they end up on the Denver Nuggets. They just eventually, everybody gets to the Nuggets eventually.
Sooner or later, Gordon Hayward, funnily enough, was like the last piece of the Stephon Marbury trade in 2010.
God, that's so weird.
In 2016, it was Jakob Poeltl was the last thing that they gave away for Melo. Yeah, the Melo trade, it contains multitudes. 2017, we're already up to?
No, 2011.
Oh, 2011.
Number 17.
The 17th pick.
Yeah, Armand Shumpert.
Yeah.
Armand Shumpert.
The show Power Shumpert was based on his life.
he tried to get litigious over that.
It wasn't the show. It wasn't Power. It was the other one.
Empire.
Yeah.
Empire. Wait, isn't Power's Empire the one?
Power's the one on Stars.
Isn't Empire the one where Terrence Newman has Lou Gehrig's
Howard?
Howard has Lou Gehrig's disease.
Look.
Yeah, that's
based on Iman Schumpert's life?
Yeah, because it's rappers. That one's about rappers. Yes. Power's about drug dealers.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Power is based on 50 Cent's life, I think.
I don't know if you've been keeping up with Terrence Howard's activities. That's a whole other world.
Mm-hmm.
Just Google, like, one plus one does not equal two, and you'll start to learn about where... Terrence Howard has some interesting ideas, and they sound like bad Lex Luthor scripts is basically what they sound like.
Okay, 2013. I'm going to say this guy is the closest the Knicks came to a rookie extension this time. The 23rd pick in the 2013 draft.
That would be Tim Hardaway Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who was later traded for Harvey Grant's son. The not good one, and then
Jerry and Grant.
Yeah.
I like Jerry and Grant. It didn't work out. By the way, the Knicks have signed Tim Hardaway Jr. to two identical 4-year extensions at various moments.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's basically a rookie extension, trading him and then signing him extension. Yeah,
because they kind of extended him at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Then they've got 2015.
Who did I want that year? I was mad that year. Like every year, I can tell you more or less who I was mad they didn't take. That year, I wanted them to draft Reggie Bullock. Reggie Bullock is who I want them to take. That's like come see, come saw.
I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is probably better than Reggie Bullock, at least.
Bullock stays healthy.
Yeah. 2015. This is Phil's finest moment as the next coach.
That's
number four pick in the draft.
That's when they get crap snaps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that turn out?
You want to
talk some sliding doors stuff. Right before Phil decided, like Don Nelson and Larry Brown before him, that he had had enough of this malarkey, he was talking with Danny Ainge about a trade for Chris Stapps.
Mm-hmm.
The reported offer was the pick that Boston had just gotten after trading out of the first pick, which became Jason Tatum, mm-hmm. and Jaylen Brown
mm-hmm. for Kristaps.
For Kristaps. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, Kristaps would have been very popular in the Boston area.
Oh, they like everything about that guy.
In retrospect, that would have been pretty good. There was also talk about a similar deal with Phoenix for Devin Booker. In fact, the Knicks actually pulled the plug and fired him in 2017, mm-hmm. like 5 to 6 days after the draft, because he was shopping Kristaps.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that
yeah.
was the year that they took the immortal Frank Ntilikina.
Instead of
Donovan Mitchell.
It is wild how badly they do drafting between 7 and 10.
That's not a good place for them. They've had some late round guys. Look, they drafted Trevor Ariza in the second round. We've already discussed Wilson Chandler. David Lee had an excellent NBA career for the 30th pick, and he doesn't even really need to play ball because he can fall back on his millions of dollars in from the coat hanger industry that he stands to inherit. That's mm-hmm. not a joke. David Lee is, in fact, the heir to a mass coat hanger fortune.
Well, also, he works at a hedge fund now.
It's the way the Warriors defy the salary cap.
Yeah, the question is, did Joe Lacob get him that job, or did someone on Wall Street in New York get him that job? Who knows? He
shares in his coat hanger.
Emmanuel quickly looks like a good late-round pick. Uh-huh. People love Quentin Grimes. When they're picking late in the draft, they do okay. It's that... That you're not in the lottery, and you're not at the middle to the end of the lottery where things tend to go sideways.
And that's why they traded out this year. They looked at history and
they looked at it and said, they're going to punt.
We don't want to doom this young man. It was a humanitarian act, actually.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We only have Frank at number 8, 2018, Kevin Knox at number. Oh, why did I boy. Just say it? I didn't want to make you think about
when they passed on the guy who I wanted that year was Mikal Bridges. That's who I wanted.
One pick after, right?
And
two.
Sean and I could have told you we saw Kevin Knox at Summer League where he was quote unquote awesome.
There is a story on the Ringer that's like the Knicks have found their next superstar after mm-hmm. the Summer League that Kevin Knox.
Except put. Sean and I watched all of those games in person, and I looked at him and I was like, these shots are not sustainable. Uh-huh. Like, it was just very clear. It was like a Lynn Stanity style hot streak happening in Vegas.
My favorite thing about Kevin, there's one of the unsolved mysteries is the mystery of Kevin Knox's height. Mm-hmm. Because they drafted him and they're like, okay, he's a 6'9 wing. Cool, great. One of the first reports that came out that year is they had someone close to one of Kevin Knox's doctors leak that actually they've looked at, x-rays of his show that like there's still room for growth and he might uh-huh. grow another, he might have a late growth spurt and get to be 6'11. Mm-hmm. And we're like, wow, look. If you're talking a 6'11 wing, well, now we're in Kevin Durant territory. Mm-hmm. And the year after that is when they started instituting the no, we're not listing people's fake with shoes on heights. Mm-hmm. We're giving people's actual heights. And Kevin Knox went down to 6'8. And by the time they remeasured him the next year, he was only 6'7. I don't know why, but Kevin Knox has shrunk 4 inches over.
He has Benjamin Button disease.
It's the pressure of the big city.
Yeah.
He actually shrunk under pressure. And then finally, 2019, RJ Barrett. They pick him. Barrett. They keep him. They extend him.
The streak is over. They actually did sign Mitch Robinson, who was technically not a first round pick.
Yeah.
Into an extension before RJ. I like Mitch. Mitch is fun to watch. He's bouncy. He blocks shots.
He doesn't eat hot dogs at halftime like Nerlens Noel.
No.
It just doesn't seem like the Knicks have done anything crazy.
No.
In a few years now.
They signed. Look, Jalen Brunson, I think, is like the 15th highest point guard in the NBA right now. You can have your doubts about how much better he can get at age 26, being a relatively unathletic, 6 foot. Dude, those are all valid concerns. Yeah. But he is the 15th highest point guard in the NBA right now. I think that is market rate for a player of his ability.
You have him through age 29. Yeah. That doesn't seem like you're
no
like getting him when he's going to fall off a cliff.
But you also had to hire his dad, who's
Rick. Yeah. Rick Jalen Brunson, who before he signed with the Knicks was repped by Leon Rose. Mm-hmm. He is now repped by Leon Rose's son. Mm-hmm. Leon Rose also formerly represented Rick Brunson when he played for the Knicks for a couple of years mm-hmm. because he started just combing the Temple campus and just grabbing every guy he could find. Mm-hmm.
Rick Brunson, bad guy. Let's just say that.
I've heard there have been some reports about why he no longer works for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Uh-huh. Also arrested in 2014 for some Deshaun Watson shit. All right. Yeah.
And it's not like the Knicks have a history of, say, defending people in their employ who were sex pests.
Yeah.
That's not something we've
Leon Rose, it was part of an ultimatum. He looked at Jalen Brunson and he was like, you sign with me or else I'm going to sign your dad to work for us. All right.
In fairness, he worked with Tibbs in Minnesota, so there's a relationship. He's, he can carry a clipboard.
But you know what? I guess if you're Jalen Brunson,
was acquitted of the charges. However,
I will say, I guess if you're Jalen Brunson,
I think they didn't file. I don't want to fake news on this. Wasn't they dropped? I don't know if there was an acquittal as much as like they did not go ahead and then readers, you can Google Rick Brunson and find this stuff out.
Anyway,
thing that matters though is when he would book his massages. Do you know what his alias was, Robert? Patrick Ewing.
Yeah,
that was his alias.
I will say, if you're Jalen Brunson, at least, and you have to choose between the Mavs and the Knicks, at least the sex pest is your dad on one of the teams, as opposed to the entire organization.
Getting hot in here.
All right.
Can we ask you one final question, Robert?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
The rumors keep building that we may be at the end of the James Dolan era, much to the dismay of younger...
The man is going to sell. He is going to sell. I believe what CNBC has to say. He's going to sell.
If you had your dream, would buy the New York Knicks?
So I can't just pick an anonymous hedge fund here or something like that. I have to find a billionaire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to be...
not evil.
And I even say, you know what? It can be like a not as rich guy who could maybe bring in some hedge
funds. A figurehead, something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily. That's all I'm saying.
You know what? My choice would be that I will sacrifice a productive Knicks team. And I say, let's get Elon Musk involved, man. He's got some cash freed up now that the Twitter deal isn't going to go down. Let's have Elon buy the Knicks.
See, I was going to say you should have one of Elon Musk's illegitimate children by the Knicks.
Uh-huh.
Another fail son. Get another fail son in there.
Have Grimes by the Knicks so that she can root for Quentin Grimes.
Wilbons buy the Knicks?
No.
They're too poor.
Steve Cohen could. Steve Cohen still... He could sell a Giacometti or two and he could afford the Knicks, I think.
Here's who I think should own the Knicks. Are you ready?
Is it Timmy Trumpet? Okay.
No, it's Blue Ivy. I think Blue Ivy should buy the Knicks. Jay-Z and Beyonce, his child. Yeah.
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, didn't he say she could play with some fancy painting in his house?
Yeah, and one of those songs, he gives her a Rothko, I believe.
Sell that Rothko, Blue Ivy. Yeah. Get the controlling interest in the New York Knicks. Child owner.
Yes.
Of the Knicks.
Fun fact, the snooty socialist summer camp that I attended as a youth. Fun fact. It was going through some financial difficulty, made worse by COVID, et cetera, et cetera. There were thoughts that it would kind of shut down. I joke that it's a snooty socialist summer camp, which it is, but it's a really wonderful institution. Like a 21-year-old wealthy, like some scion of the oligarchy bought it, and they're doing a wonderful job, but it still just floored me that the person who owns this summer camp is a 21-year-old person. Bizarre. maybe they can buy the Knicks too. Maybe they, granted, I realize socialism is a little cheaper than professional basketball, but I'll reach out.
Well, Bobby, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
I got a story out in the Daily Beast, came out early Monday morning, about noted Beanie Haver and YouTuber Tim Pool and his
band.
Website. His band, which he also, Tim Pool, who goes by the handle TimCass on Twitter. And he founded a record company to sign all the people who've been canceled and all the free thinkers, which is called TimCast Records. And his band is called TimCast.
Yeah, we'll have you on soon to listen to that record.
There's only two songs that they've released, and I've listened to them both already. So that's in any case, it's about how it's not about his sort of very sort of grim mid-2000s quasi emo core rock, but it's about he's got a website. He does fluff interviews with white nationalists, and the thing is jam-packed with plagiarism. So if you want to give that a read.
And his band essentially plagiarizes, like, Breaking Benjamin or one of those terrible bands.
He did get Pete Parada, the former drummer for The Offspring, who got kicked out of The Offspring because he wouldn't get vaccinated, and now he's playing in the band TimCast.
Imagine being in The Offspring where you're in a band with literally two doctors and refusing to get vaccinated. Also, two doctors wrote... My friend's got a girlfriend and he hates that bitch.
Why don't you get a job as a neurosurgeon, Joey?
He's got to come out and play.
Nah. All right, that's enough of that. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thank you, Bob. Thank you, Greg. That's our episode.
Oh yeah, I think he didn't plug it, but he's Bob Saeta.
Oh, yeah, we didn't ask him to do it. Spell that out for him.
B-O-B-S-A-I-E-T-T-A. So many bylines.
So many bylines. And Sean, it's plug time. I plugged it at the top. Start plugging your plugs at the bottom here.
Okay, here we go. I was on the Daily Zeitgeist. That episode is on. It's the newest one when this comes out. Be yesterday. I have an album coming out on Blonde Medicine Records. You can see me live in Elk Grove, a suburb of Sacramento, at Comedy Under the Stars on September 16th. And I've been writing a bunch of stuff at Golden State of Mind, including about the Donovan Mitchell trade and the 8 most losable games on the Warriors roster. Some people write about, you know, the good games coming up. I tried to pick up the ones where the Warriors are not going to give a shit.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 5 days ago I tweeted, I'm currently in New Jersey and I just had the thought of how much California sucks. Now that's bad. Don't even understand that tweet. Sean, did you write a song?
I did. This is, I know I say that sometimes. This one's pretty stupid. It's called, Rudy Starbust and the Spider from Mars.
Great. That's playing under us. Trust the process. And shut it down. Let's all just go eat some Chipotle, Danny Ainge.
Now Rudy played the pivot, jams and lobs from Ricky Rubio, and Spider played guard. He defended the rim, but he couldn't range far. Spider was not his fan, refused to play man to man. Rudy really pouted, cried he was not an all-star, like some kid from Little League. He would lick all the mics, he infected the team. Italy, COVID-19. French people hate hygiene. So it's soured with Spider, and he refused to share the ball. As the team got divided, they had to bring Mike Conley in. Now both guards were 6 feet tall. Rudy played for stats, screen assists, or analytics voodoo. David Locke loves his ass. He was a jerk, did all the defensive work. He won DPOY, but the Jazz hated that guy. Making crepes in a beret, they had to send this dude out of town. Just a total pariah. Then the old Chipotle man decided to break up the team. Oh yeah!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.